Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. We're in the holy city now, the New Jerusalem, space city, come down from God out of heaven to a new earth. The capital city of the world to come, kingdom come. Our capital, from which we will rule the world. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There's a river which flows through the city of God, this beautiful New Jerusalem, this space city from outer space, the capital city, the place that Jesus has gone to prepare for you and me, where there are many mansions in his Father's house for us. It's on its way here now, coming in from outer space. And through the city flows this beautiful river. And on each side of the river are these beautiful trees called the trees of life. And they bear fruit. 12 kinds of fruit on one tree. Think of that. A different kind of fruit every month. That's quite a fruit tree, huh, David?
Yeah.
Isn't that a beautiful fruit tree? We've been talking about Eden's fruits and so on. But that's more fruit than we ever found on one tree in the Garden of Eden, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really unusual, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, you like to see that?
Yeah.
Oh, you will, because you're saved and you're going to be in the holy city when the time comes. Praise the Lord. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Outside the holy city, on the surface of the renewed earth, whose surface and atmosphere had been destroyed in the last great war of Gog and Magog, and all of whose wicked had been burned up and killed, who were then judged in the great white throne judgment of God. Now we're on the renewed surface of the earth at the beautiful new heavenly city. New heaven, new earth. And through it flows this beautiful river of life, flanked by the trees of life, which have 12 fruits, a different one every month, and leaves that are able to heal the nations outside of the city. For outside of the city, on this globe, these nations will still be in existence. There will still be nations. There'll be Russia and China that you see there. North America, United States and Canada, Europe, and so on. Still be nations outside of the city. And we will have leaves from the tree of life for their healing. Apparently they're still going to need help and still need healing. Still need salvation, and we will have the answer to their problems. They will not be allowed inside of the holy city, the beautiful city, Zion, the New Jerusalem, the Bride of Christ, space city, the capital of the kingdom of God to come. But they will be allowed upon the surface of the earth, in a beautiful new earth, where there will be no more sea. Look at how much of the earth is sea. And there will be no more sea. No more Pacific. No more Atlantic. No more Indian Ocean, no more Pacific Ocean, no more sea. All be land. Think of that. And even the United States and these nations and Europe will still be there. Still be there. But they'll need healing, and we will have the answer to their problems in the leaves of the tree of life for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. The curse, the result of sin, no more. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. That is in the city. I'm not talking about outside on the surface of the earth now. Surface of the earth outside, the planetary ball, earth, will still have sun, moon, stars, day and night, seasons and so on. But in the city, there'll be no need of sun or moon or stars or candle. There'll be no night there, because it'll be eternally lighted forever, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, beautifully lighted. And you'll be able to see that city, think of it, from as far as 4,000 miles away. Beautifully lighted city of God. Beautifully golden light all night long. When it's night upon the earth, the inhabitants of the earth will be able to look up and view that beautiful city and know that God is there. That God now lives here with man. He's come down out of heaven to make his dwelling place with man. And that's his beautiful city, his capital city. Even if you're not one of the denizens or one of the citizens of the city living inside the city, you will be able to look up from the surface of the earth and be thankful that you're even there at all. Even outside the city, unsaved. One of those on probation. One of those still learning to love the Lord. But you can look up at night and see that beautiful city. Isn't that wonderful? Just think, from even 4,000 miles away, you'll be able to see it. Even if it was clear across the ocean or over New York, you could see it from London and Paris and even almost from Rome. Think of that. Isn't that amazing? And there shall be no more curse, and so on. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. No need of candle, light, or sun, and so on. And they shall reign forever and ever. Who shall reign? You and me. We, saints of God. All the Christians who love Jesus, all our saints, sanctified by his blood, purified, set apart to serve the Lord. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly be done. This person speaking to St. John said these things to him. Then Jesus speaks, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Quickly? What do you mean? John got this revelation 2,000 years ago, and Jesus isn't here yet. Well, Jesus didn't say he was coming soon. He said he was going to come quickly when he came. He didn't say he was going to come soon. He said he's going to come quickly. In other words, when he comes, he's going to come real quick and in a hurry, real fast. But he didn't say, I'm coming soon, because it's been 2,000 years since then. He hasn't come yet. And I, John, saw these things, the 8th verse, and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he thought it was an angel. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. He said, don't worship me. I am one of the prophets, one of your brethren of the prophets. He didn't say which prophet he was. He could have been any one of the major prophets, minor prophets. Moses, Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, or prophets since the days of the Lord. He didn't say which one, but he says, I'm just another prophet like you. I'm one of your fellow servants. I'm one of the human beings of the saints, a prophet like you. But so don't worship me. I'm not even an angel. But worship the Lord. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. We found out that the book of Revelation began when? When did the revelations begin? In whose time? Class? John's time! Here's the little lad over here that had the right answer. The sayings of this book, the predictions and prophecies of this book began right then in John's day. That's why he said the time is at hand. And this book reviews the whole history of the world prophetically from the days of John to the very end. In fact, right on into the heaven as we see tonight. Praise the Lord. He says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. That sort of shows you how God divides classes of this world. There seem to be two classes of the unsaved or the wicked, classified into those who are unjust or unmerciful, unloving, and those who are just plain dirty, filthy, sickening, vile. But both unsaved and both filthy and vile and not God's children. Then he has a couple of classes there of the just, the righteous, and the holy. Some people who are righteous and like the church people live very good lives and try to do what was right. And then the holy, those who are holy and totally dedicated to the Lord and his service, set apart completely, beautifully clean in God's sight, pure and holy in their love for the Lord, serving the Lord day and night, the holy. God has a very, it's not a classless society, it's a very classy society. And he has all kinds of different classes and stages of development and stages of punishment and stages of reward and all kinds of different classes in God's kingdom, in his kingdom come. It's not just one great class. We're not all the children of God. As Jesus said, some of you are of your father the devil. We don't preach the fatherhood of God, brotherhood of man, because not all men are of their father God. God is not the father of all men. He's only the father of those who love him and receive his son Jesus. The others are of their father, the devil. So we don't believe in that bullshit about the fatherhood of God, of all, the brotherhood of all men. It's not so. We are not the brothers of the children of Satan. We are not the brothers of the sons and daughters of the devil. We are only the brothers of the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, the children of God. This whole world is divided very distinctly into two kinds of people. Those who are the children of God through Jesus Christ, his Son. And those who are the children of the devil through the Antichrist, his Son. 12th verse, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, he didn't say soon, but he said quickly. He's going to come very suddenly when he comes. He's just warning them, even 2,000 years in advance, that when he finally comes, he's going to come very quickly. He says that about three times in this passage. Not that he's coming soon, but that he's going to come very quickly. He does say that the events talked about in this book are at hand, starting right now, he says. And this book covers the whole period from John to the end, even to heaven. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Everybody will be rewarded at the judgment of Jesus Christ, at the throne of Christ. Every saved Christian will be rewarded according to his works. when Jesus comes. The judgment of the wicked does not come until 1,000 years later, when all the wicked are dead and destroyed and then raised to meet God at the great white judgment seat, described in the 20th chapter, if you want to read. But we who are raised, resurrected and raised and raptured to be with the Lord at the end of the tribulation, we get our rewards right away up in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, there's a great feast and a great marriage supper, a great ceremony, and God passes out the gifts. He passes out the presents, the rewards, to all of those who love the Lord. Then wonderful, that's going to be better than Christmas, you know? When Jesus passes out the presents, to all the children who've been good are going to get good big presents, and all the children, if they're really children, they love the Lord, but they were naughty, and sometimes disobedient, they're not going to get very much, are they? I don't think so. They're going to be ashamed, aren't they? When they don't get much of a reward because they were naughty children. 13th verse, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus is speaking again. Alpha and Omega, the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, meaning the beginning and the end. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. All those who do the commandments of Jesus Christ can eat of that tree of life that grows on both sides of the river of life that flows right through the city like a big park. It's going to be very beautiful. The city is going to be very, very beautiful. I'm going to tell you more about it in a few minutes. It's going to be like a beautiful, beautiful park in some places. And there in the lower level where the river flows right through the city, there's going to be these beautiful trees growing on both sides. Fruit trees with 12 different kinds of fruits, one a different kind every month. Think of that. And leaves that will be able to heal the people outside the city that are still sin sick and sick of their disobediences and their rebellion against God. We're going to be able to take those leaves outside. We're still going to be witnesses. Think of that. We're still going to be witnesses for the Lord and be able to take those leaves outside the city and to heal the nations outside. But we who live in the city, who are saved, we're saved and the only saved ones. And we have a right to the tree of life, to drink of those beautiful waters that keep us living forever so we can help those people outside. Isn't that good? Would you like to do that? Wouldn't you like to keep on witnessing to take little leaves of life out to the nations, like little leaflets? Kind of reminds you of those little leaflets we take out to the people in the world, huh? We're still going to be taking out leaflets. Think of that. Out to the nations to heal them. Leaflets. Leaves from the tree of life. That's what we're really doing now. We're taking leaves from the tree of life right now. We're taking leaves right out of the tree of life here, and we're taking them out to heal the nations now, aren't we, David? We're taking them out and giving them to the people outside of the family and outside of the kingdom of God, outside of kingdom come, outside of the saved and the church. We're giving them out to the people out on the streets, right? Outside of the city of the family, outside of the city of the church, outside in the streets and the sidewalks and the byways and highways, all over the world. We're giving them little leaflets from the tree of life, aren't we, huh? Little leaves and leaflets from the tree of life. We're giving them little leaves and leaflets. Already we're giving them leaves from the tree of life that they might be healed. Isn't that wonderful? And we're going to still be witnessing and giving out leaflets. How about that? Witnessing. Leaflets. Little leaves from the tree of life to heal the nations. Praise God. But only we have the right to enter into the city because we are citizens of the city. We are the saved. And only the nations of the saved can walk therein. He says so right here. We read it in the last chapter. For outside are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth them maketh a lie. That's terrible, huh? Those awful, horrible people are going to be outside the city. Outside the city. That's why they need our help. They need us to go out and heal them with the leaflets, the little leaves of the tree of life, outside the city. They'll still be out there, like they are today. We still have to go out there and witness to them and apply the leaflets of God's word, the tree of life, and heal them of their sins. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And we'll have some work to do, still have some work to do. We won't just be sitting around floating on clouds, fiddling with the harps. That's some stupid cartoonist idea. Some guy who doesn't know about what's going to happen, really. Because we're going to be very busy going in and picking leaves off of the tree of life. Nice little leaflets like this we handed out for many years. Here's a little leaf from the tree of life right there. And we take it out and we'll give it to the people outside like this and say, hey, here, this will heal you if you just take it and rub it into your heart. Rub it into your heart, David. Rub it into your heart. That's right. Rub it into your heart. It'll heal your heart and make you well again. Isn't that wonderful? We'll still be giving out little leaves, leaflets from the tree of life. How about that? Because outside are still going to be lots of wicked people out on the surface of the earth. They've been resurrected. They've been to the great white throne judgment of God and been each one's judgment decided upon. Whether he should go to the flames of very hell itself and the lake of fire with the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet, where those three animals are, those three beasts, the dragon and the beast and the false lamb. Three animals going to be in hellfire. Dragon, the beast, and the false lamb. The dragon, who's the dragon? No. Who is that great red dragon? And the Bible says that old serpent. The devil, Satan. And who's the beast? The big red beast. Well, it might be, but it's the opposite of Jesus. Antichrist. And the false lamb is the false prophet of the devil and of the beast. That's right. Those three monsters get thrown right into hell with all their followers. But out on the surface of the earth now, after the great white judgment, the judgment of Jesus Christ and the white judgment of the wicked, God's going to let those people live outside the city to learn their lesson and to be healed by the leaflets that we pass them from the tree of life like that. And we'll still be witnessing for the Lord, in a sense, witnessing with little leaflets from the tree of life. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Are you glad? Are you glad we'll still have some work to do to help people and love people? Isn't that wonderful? And I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Who is the morning star?
Jesus.
Jesus is the morning star. And the spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst
say, come.
And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This wasn't exactly a grandpa story tonight, but I wanted David to be in on this because this is our last chance to have a sort of a grandpa story. And at the end of our book of Revelation, the end of the whole Bible, think of that. That doesn't mean it's the end of you and me, because we're going to have some more, I hope, some more videos after we leave here. The dear landlord's coming tomorrow. We're going to make our island disappear. Because he wouldn't be able to understand how he has suddenly had the Garden of Eden in his house. So we got to remove the Garden of Eden. Just like the Lord did, you know, when the devil came along and tempted Adam and Eve and they sinned and everything, he had to take the Garden of Eden away. And this wicked landlord who's coming tomorrow, he doesn't love Jesus and doesn't know the Lord. And so we have to take away the Garden of Eden. So he won't even know where it's at. Can't find it. 18th verse, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." You mustn't add anything to this book. You mustn't take anything away from it. Now some people say that means the whole Bible. No, he's just talking about this particular book, Book of Revelation. You shouldn't add anything to it, and you shouldn't take anything from it. We haven't added anything to it, have we? And we haven't taken anything away from it, have we? We just read it right out of the book, didn't we? Just what it says, right? Mm-hmm. So, you see, contrary to what some of our enemies say, they say we add to the Scriptures, we take away from the Scriptures, blah, blah. Isn't that ridiculous? In fact, our enemies, some of the narrow-minded, very blue-nosed evangelical fundamentalists, they seem to think that this is the last time God ever spoke, was to John here on the Isle of Patmos. Those are the last words that Jesus ever said. He hasn't spoken since then. Isn't that ridiculous? We have a dead God who's been dead and quiet and silent for 2,000 years now, according to these fundamentalist evangelicals, who only accept just the Bible alone and don't believe that Jesus has ever said anything since then. Isn't that silly? Don't you think that's rather crazy? Huh? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to worship a God that's dead, would you?
No.
Don't you want to worship a God that's alive mm-hmm. and who talks and speaks to us today
yeah.
and talks to his prophets and to his children
mm-hmm.
and to your daddy? Do you like to hear God speak through your daddy? You've heard him lots of times, haven't you? You read it in the letters, in the comics, in the prophecies, right?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that God still speaks today?
Yes.
Through his prophets today? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're a little prophet, too. He speaks through you. And he's getting to be more of a man every day and going to be a big, strong prophet for Jesus someday. Like Daddy. Only better. He's going to be a young teenager, and that's a good prophet for young people. So we're not adding to the book, not even the whole Bible, much less this book. Neither are we subtracting from it. I've read you the whole book, every word in the book now except the last two verses. And I haven't added anything or subtracted anything. So why this should say that we change the Word of God and we add to it and so on? We don't add to the truth or add to what it says. God has spoken since then. God has added words since then to tell us things. And down through the ages, after this book was written, after John, God still had many prophets and prophetesses who continued to prophesy and speak with tongues and interpretation and prophecies throughout the whole 2,000 years of church history since the days of John and since this book was finished. God's prophets and prophetesses have been continuing to prophesy in these last days, according to the Word of God, throughout the Church of Jesus Christ, throughout the family of God, throughout all Christendom, all those that love Jesus, all Christians everywhere, millions of them. So, praise God. All we have done is given you what God has said lately. Praise the Lord. We haven't added to the book. See, it's still here. You can't find anything here that we've added to it. At all. That's just a concordance there. We didn't add a thing to it. We put ours in the separate books, and you can read them, you can have them if you want them. They're called Mo books. There's about 8 of them now, and there's about 1,000 of those letters, revelations from God and teachings from the Lord and good, sound, fatherly counsel and advice and all of that, dreams, visions, and revelations God has given to me. Personally, separately. We didn't add them to this book. Here, you can see. Where did we add them? I don't see where we add them, did we? We didn't put them in the Bible. At all. Not at all, did we, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's a pretty shirt you got on tonight. You're going to wear that? Well, that's one of those Cuban or Latin American shirts, huh? You're going to wear that in South America, huh? Where we should go. Well, praise God. So we haven't added the book. We wrote some new books, praise the Lord, of all the latest revelations God has given. And he which testifieth these things saith, that's Jesus, of course. Surely I come quickly. He didn't say he was coming soon. He said he was coming quickly. He didn't say he was going to come very soon, because it's been 2,000 years since then. But he said when he comes, he's going to come very quick. Boom! Suddenly like that, by surprise to the whole world. But we won't be surprised, will we? We'll be ready for Jesus when he comes. We'll be expecting him, won't we? Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus, the prophet says. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful book? Wonderful, wonderful, beautiful story. Now, I have a little surprise for you that I brought along tonight. I did something today I've always wanted to do. You know, in the last chapter before this, we studied about the great space city, the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, that comes down from God out of heaven and comes down and lands on the earth. And it's going to be the capital city of Jesus and all of us, his children, his family. And we're all going to live in it. All the saved are going to live in it. It's a very great big city. 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles high. So today I took this globe and according to the scale, the proportionate size of this globe, I made a little pyramid the exact size of that beautiful space city, the holy city, the bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem, come down from God out of heaven down to the earth. And would you like to see a little bit? I'm not an artist, so I didn't get a chance to decorate it, but maybe some of our artists will be able to decorate it and show you really what it looks like and all the beauty of it and so on. And you've seen it on some of our letters, haven't you? That beautiful space city. But I just made a little pyramid out of cardboard to show you the relationship between the size of the world and that great beautiful holy city coming down from God out of heaven. Now here it comes. Here it comes. It's way off in space. Can you see it coming? And it's coming down from God out of heaven. And it's coming down from God out of heaven. It's a huge pyramid, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide. And where do you suppose it's going to land? We wouldn't want it to land right on top of Europe, would we? It would smother the whole world. And around, not even on poor Russia, or China, or North America, or South America, or Africa. So where do you suppose it might land?
In America.
In America? But it would cover up and smother part of America. They'd be in the shade all the time, wouldn't they? Well, in the new earth, there's not going to be any more sea. Can land right out in between the continents where the ocean used to be, like that, huh? So we can have the city of God coming down from God out of heaven, and it can come down here like this. And we made this exactly in the right dimensions, proportions, in relation to the size of this globe. This is what the holy city is going to look like in size. 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. And it could come down here and land in the North Atlantic, right between Europe over here and America over here, and it could land right on top of the world like this. Look at that. How about that? There would just about be room for it to fit in between England and Canada in the North Atlantic. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
See, because it's 50, I don't know whether you can read that or not, it's 1,500 miles wide. Can you read that?
Yep.
And it's 1,500 miles high from the bottom up here to the top. Look, that's how big the holy city is going to look when it lands on the world. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, since it's mobile and it's like a spaceship, it's come out of space, like Galactica and Star Trek, and what's the name of that spaceship in Star Trek? Huh?
I don't know.
What's the name of that spaceship?
Enterprise.
The Starship Enterprise, or the Starship Galactica. It's going to be much bigger than any of them. Look how big it is. The biggest spaceship that was ever flown. Came way down from God out of heaven, from outer space, lands on the earth like that, and if it would land there between Europe and North America, it would look like that. Look at that. Here's Europe, and here's North America over here. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That if you would climb up here on the very tip top of this holy city, of God's beautiful new heavenly city that's going to land here, do you know how far you could see from up here on top? You know how far you could see? You could see all the way from the tip top, clear across Canada, United States, clear over the Pacific Ocean. 4,000 miles away, you could see clear out to Hawaii. 4,000 miles away. And you could see from the tip top, all the way across Europe, clear across 2,000 miles of the Mediterranean, and clear past Israel, clear over or past into the Mid East, and into Iran, and way over here into Arabia, and Russia, almost to China, from the tip top. Can you see this little city up here, this city? How does that look? From the tip top, this big, the sea, it's a big whirling pyramid landing on the North Atlantic between North America and Europe. And if it landed right about there like that, just about there like that, you could see from here. Here's the Canary Island down here where you were born. You could see 4,000 miles from there. You could see clear down here into Central Africa.
Yeah.
Going to have the most gorgeous view of any building that there ever was. From the top 1,500 miles high, way up beyond the stratosphere, way up beyond the atmosphere, way up in the heavenlies, on the tip top you'll be able to see thousands of miles. In fact, you'll be able to see a radius of 4,000 or 5,000 miles from the tip top of the pyramid, 4,000 or 5,000 miles all the way around, clear around like that. Several continents, you'll be able to see about a third of the world's surface from there. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
8,000 miles wide, 8,000 miles long, you'll be able to see. And that'll be about a third of the world's surface. You'll be able to see North America. You'll be able to see clear down here to South America and into Africa and Europe and Asia. And way back over here to Canada, and way over to Europe. And not only that, it's probably going to fly around. It's probably not going to just stay there. It's probably going to move all around and pick up and fly around like the satellites. And it's probably going, while the world's turning like this, it'll be hovering above the world to see that everybody's behaving. And keep a lookout on everybody and see what they're doing. And now we're just looking at the northern hemisphere. So now we've got to turn it around and show you what's going on down south here. Here's where the family's going to be. And the heavenly city's got to come down here and see what we're doing. And it'll be hovering over Australia, right? And New Guinea and Indonesia and Borneo and Southeast Asia. To see what we're doing there, and India, and it'll travel around, and down to Madagascar, and South Africa, and across the South Atlantic, to South America, way down from all the way from Argentina and Chile, clear up to the Caribbean up here at the Caribbean and Central America and Mexico, where so many of our family are going to be, and then it can fly right across the Pacific Ocean like this, fly right across the ocean, and we're back again at Australia again, and New Zealand, way down here, see there? He's going to keep an eye on those New Zealanders, too. They're pretty good people, but you better keep an eye on good people, because sometimes they think they can get away with anything, just because they're so good. And so the space city, if it would travel right here at the equator like this, it could survey almost the whole world and all the continents and everything in the world and keep an eye on everybody to make sure everybody's behaving. See, look at that. See?
Everybody just could stand down
fly there. Right around like that and just everywhere so they can see everywhere. And if it should land up in North America, I think by that time it'll be safer to land up here, but everything is going to be kind of ruined. So we're going to have a big job when we get back here after the terrible Battle of Armageddon and we start trying to clean up the world for the millennium. Oh, my, what a mess. Did you know it says in the Bible it's going to take us 7 months just to bury all the dead that got killed in the battle?
Seven months.
It's a long time to bury a lot of dead people. And all the time they're stinking and out lying out there on the ground rotting. 7 months, do you know, even 7 days, you stink and begin to rot and smell horrible like the farmer's garbage pile out here where he throws the dead dogs and dead pigs. Doesn't it smell awful? That's the way the whole world's going to smell then because of that. And it's going to take 7 years to burn up all the junk and the weapons and the stuff that was in the Battle of Armageddon. My goodness, it's almost going to take 1,000 years to do all that. So, Lord, help you to be ready in Jesus' name. Amen.